Welcome back to the Two Guys Named Chris show. Lisa Lanier is our official attorney of this program. She is the president of the Lanier Law Group. If you need any legal assistance, lanierlawgroup.com is the first place you should go, her website. Good morning, Lisa. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. I hope you guys are.
Doing very well. Now, each week at this time, we talk to you about three legal matters, and we call it Lawyer Up. You get inside them and solve them here. And the first one is about a man who is from Beverly Hills. He's from Los Angeles, but he met a woman from Beverly Hills on Tinder. For those that don't know what Tinder is.
Biggie?
it's an app where you can meet nice people.
Nice people. And
it seems to be turning more into a date. It was initially basically a hookup app.
That's right.
Of like who was close by to you. Now people are actually trying to use it for dating, which I think is
ridiculous. Lost its niche now. Now yeah. It's lost its where it was. A guy who works here, younger, I won't say a name, but he's in his early 20s. He's like, man, if you had had Tinder when you were in college, even you'd have gotten laid. To me.
Yeah, probably.
To me, he said that. I said, really? Wow. He's like, yeah. He's go on, swipe a face. 2 hours later, you're in bed with her.
What?
That's right. I was like, really? I mean, I was just like, you know.
Can I still?
Will you show me?
All right. So Tinder, you go
Please
on.
Please let there be a hot tub time machine somewhere in the building.
He's 25, you know, just living the life. So anyway, this guy from Vegas met a woman from Beverly Hills and on Tinder, and they did what most people used it for. This is about a year ago, February last year, and they wound up having sex twice, once at her house and once while they were both in Vegas at the Stratosphere Casino and Hotel. 2 days after the second encounter, he had a breakout, and when he confronted her, she admitted, yeah, I had herpes, and yet she hid that from him. He even said to her, he asked, should I use protection? And she said, no need. I'm a good Jewish mother. That was her response to him. So he wound up. That was her response. So he wound up with herpes, and now he's suing her and considering suing Tinder because he thinks she should have told him she had the herp. Lisa, I'm going to say this is on him. It's all his fault. What do you think?
Well, you know, there have been a lot of successful lawsuits around the transmission of herpes and AIDS and things like that, not against these dating sites. So right. He can forget that. Tinder won't be responsible for it. But he may find success going after her. There have been a couple of pretty high-profile verdicts recently. In Oregon, a woman who met someone on eHarmony sued and won $900,000. And because of comparative fault being the law in most states, the award, the $900,000, was reduced by 25% for her contribution, mm-hmm. her fault in it.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was a recent one. And then there was an even bigger one in California, almost $7 million. And that's been upheld on appeal.
I'm surprised. I'm really surprised. I would think you have to be your own advocate for that.
The guy had a condom and apparently, or at least had access to it.
And did not use it.
She said, don't worry about it.
She said, don't worry about it. Because she's a, quote, good Jewish mother.
And what so a turn on.
That was enough for him.
You would think that it would be on him, but yeah. because there are actually laws in some states making it a crime. Not only just can you go after the person like he's doing for money, but they make it a crime. Or people get creative and make it a sexual battery, like a non-consensual sexual act because you didn't know. Or you were told, particularly where the person hides it and makes positive, affirmative misrepresentations about it, then you usually see people being successful.
Well, that's this case because she lied to him. On to case number two. It's an interesting one about firefighters. 4,400 current and former firefighters nationwide are suing a group called the Federal Signal Corporation. They're in Illinois. They make the sirens that go onto fire trucks. And the firefighters say the company should have designed them in a way that directs the volume of the sirens away from them. Instead, they have been subjected to about 120 decibels of sound every time they have to use the siren. And they're saying they are having hearing problems now, many of them. And they say there's a way for them to have directed that sound out rather than to them, even though they're sitting right underneath the siren. Company says that juries should find in their favor and that they should win in all these lawsuits. A few of them already have. Lisa, does this signal company have anything to worry about?
Well, the majority of these lawsuits, the firefighters have lost in the majority of them. There have been two, one that's settled and one in the Chicago area where the firefighters won And in the one in Chicago, there were 9 firefighters, and they won a total of $425,000. Each one was awarded a varying amount depending on the severity of his hearing loss. But the majority of the cases, the firefighters are losing, and one, because they're failing to show that there was a product defect, because the intention of the siren is to be loud and to distribute the sound in all directions for the safety of motorists and warning people that you're coming through.
Right.
And the other is that in a lot of products cases, you have to show that you're the end user of the product in order to have standing to sue. And the firefighters are having trouble in some cases proving that they're the end user.
Aha. That's interesting.
That's yeah, a couple of problems, but for the most part, they have lost these lawsuits. But this is the biggest one. This one's been certified as a class action, and there's 4,000 members suing. 4,000 firefighters are suing. So they'll just, if they can show that there was a readily available alternative design that could have shielded the men on the truck, men and women on the truck, from the noise, then they may be successful. But so far, they've not been terribly successful.
Interesting. Mm. Okay, well, we'll see if they can show it. And the last story comes from Bavaria. And I really want to know how it would work in the United States. Police got involved after a stash of gold and jewels worth millions of dollars was dug up in the back garden of a businessman who died. Now, the guy was 53, and he died suddenly. A couple of days later, another man sent a digger out to his yard and dug up a fortune worth of stuff. Well, when his family found this out, they were like, what's going on? They stopped the digging, and the man came forward and said, yes, I had an agreement with the man of the house, the 53-year-old who died, to store my jewels, my gold, my money underneath his yard, buried in his yard. And we had that agreement, but it's not written down anywhere or anything like that. So the family says, no, that's our money, even though they didn't know about it. They said, look, it's on our property, so that's our money. They had no idea it was even there. The other man said, we had an agreement, and that's why I came to get it quickly before you found out about it. Where does this money go? Let's say this happened in the United States, Lisa. Where would this money go? It's such a weird case.
Well, there would be a presumption, just like there was in that case, there would be a presumption that the money belonged to the property owner. And if the guy that's claiming the money could show some kind of an agreement and prove it, then, of course, he could get his money. If truly the guy was just holding it and it was the other guy's property, then no. But that's going to be tough to prove. And in a lot of these situations where somebody's making a claim like this, there was some illegality, some fraud, or some, you know, some bad purpose in hiding the money there to begin with.
Yeah.
And so usually there's not going to be a great paper trail to show that. And now there was a case in California where a couple dug up $10 million in gold coins from their backyard. And they really tried to keep it a secret but for this very reason, so people wouldn't come along and try to offer false proof that it was their stash.
Right.
They ended up getting to keep theirs.
Oh, they did. Mm. So in that case, I do think that the people who live there, the family of this man who dropped dead, will get to keep it. It sounds like it anyway. But where did that money come from? There's some sort of illegal. Yeah. There's who knows where.
Guess
that
we know what the Kelly kids will be doing this weekend. Here's a shovel. Start digging.
That's exactly right.
There's a good chance we're going to
hit
pay dirt.
People, you know, find stuff in their walls and in there, especially if you buy an older home and it has an interesting history of prior owners. You should look. They say you should look. Start digging.
Well, I'll tell you, they're putting in AT&T U-verse or something in our neighborhood, so they're digging up through all the yards.
Oh, they're
right
digging now.
Yeah, they're doing it right now. So what if an AT&T U-verse guy finds my money? That's my money, Lisa. I'm sorry. You've explained
that. That's your money. That's right.
That's my cash. That's the way that goes. Lisa, thank you so much, as always. She's our official attorney, Lisa Lanier. Lawyer Up is the segment. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good. Have a great weekend.
You as well. LanierLawGroup.com. You're president there.